Well, good morning again. Welcome to our second week of our Lenten study titled, The Last Days of Jesus. We are taking a look at some key passages as the mission of Jesus has now began to focus on his journey to the cross. Last week, we saw how Jesus introduces a new concept, and he tells the disciples that he's not going to be a conquering Messiah in the way they think a conquering Messiah should be, but instead, he's going to be a martyr, a Messiah who will conquer through suffering, death, and resurrection. And we heard last week that Peter was not happy about this. In fact, he even tells Jesus, he rebukes Jesus, and Jesus says, whoa, back off, Peter. And Jesus makes it very clear that he must suffer and die. And as you heard in our scripture readings, we see two stories where a rare glimpse of real glory was seen during special events. The first was to Moses on Mount Sinai. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock, and when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. And if you know anything about the Exodus and all the things that happened, God and Moses had a very special relationship. And it was only Moses who could even come close to actually seeing God. And up until this moment, God had only appeared in forms such as a cloud or a pillar of fire or a burning bush. So this was going to be a special and unique moment. And it left a permanent imprint on Moses. In Exodus 34, it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Now, should it be any surprise that a mere mortal was only capable to see a glimpse of the back of God? The pure presence of God was so powerful that if Moses had even seen more than a glimpse, it would have destroyed him. I mean, after all, we serve a mighty and powerful God. I think we forget how great and powerful that he is, that he is the creator of the world and he is the creator of light. In Genesis 1, it's in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering above the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Let there be light, the words of God spoken, and the light was good. And God controls the light and the darkness. It even stops on his commands. From Joshua 10, verse 12, on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. David also recognized the word of God as light. In Psalm 119, he wrote that your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. And it is interesting that David calls God's word his light, because the disciple John told us that Jesus is both the word of God and the true light of God. This may sound familiar from our call to worship. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that all through him might all believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Jesus, the true light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And there was no doubt that the Apostle John knew Jesus was the true light because he saw it firsthand. In Matthew 17, we heard earlier, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, his appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. This was a very similar experience to what Moses had. The three disciples get to see a glimpse of Jesus in his glory, his eternal glory. It said his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. And eventually in the New Jerusalem, we find that the true light is the only light that we will need. Revelations 21 verse 23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Jesus is and was with God from the beginning. Jesus is and was the Word. Jesus, the Word, is the light, the true light, and the light for all eternity. A light so bright that there is no need for the sun. A message for us now. A message that gives us hope. And a message that we are to share with others. Jesus told the people in Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." This is the light that gives us hope. This is the light we celebrate in our walk with Jesus. But for many in this world, life is anything, is not anything about light. For many of them have dark lives. Some are hungry, unemployed, out of money. Some are homeless or on the verge of losing it all. Some people are living in darkness at home and nobody knows it. All alone, maybe because of the death of a loved one. Some are all alone because of broken marriages. Some are in darkness because of health issues. Some are suffering depression or other disorders. And some are battling dark sins in their life. And we have a lot of people in the world trying to survive off of artificial light. But the artificial light, the hope of the world, only provides temporary satisfaction. When we seek worldly satisfaction, we just keep coming up empty time and time again. We all know that even the bright lights of Hollywood and Vegas, fame or fortune, cannot give people what they truly need. How many times in the news do we see the rich and famous fall prey to drug addiction? How many times do we see the rich and famous have broken marriages and broken lives? And we also put our hope into politicians. Politicians can't give us light. They can't give us real hope or change. They can't solve the world's inequity problems. But what can solve inequity problems is a life in Christ. As Christians, we can change the world. We can bring light into the dark world. And I want you to consider your life. Because if you are a Christian, we all once lived in the darkness of sin. But as Christians, our lives should make us the light of the world. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret." Verse 13, "But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" The scripture says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." It is time for us as Christians to wake up. It is time for us to be light. We need to let there be light in our lives. Because if you are a Christian, you are supposed to be a light. Because when you are living in God's word, when you are praying to God and living it out for God, you should be filled with a light. And just like when Moses came down from the mountain, he had a radiant glow about him. And you've all seen people with a glow. You know, like when you see newlyweds and they have that glow about them. Or you ever hear someone say that a pregnant woman has a glow about her. Christians should have a distinct glow in their lives. They should carry a smile in all of their trials. They should have a sense of peace always, a pep in their step. The kind of people that whistle while they work or they're humming praise songs all day long. And if, folks, you don't have this glow, you need to get it. If you're walking around of doom and gloom, if you're walking around sullen and sulking, that is not how we are called to be. We as Christians are supposed to glow. We are supposed to be a light for the world. And if your glow is gone, then maybe you need to check your spiritual diet. Are you praying the way Jesus taught us to pray? I don't mean just the "God, help me, I'm in trouble" prayers, right? Because we like to do that, don't we? We get in trouble and we go running to God. And then things get fixed and we kind of forget to pray again. I mean really praying to God on your knees every day. Honoring Him, worshiping Him, praying for others, confessing your sins kind of prayer. And in your spiritual diet, are you reading His word? And not just looking at the words. I remember I was on one of those programs to read a Bible through in a year. Some of you probably do it. And what do you get in the habit of doing? "Oh, I got to get through these two chapters today." And you look at every word, don't you? But do you read it? I mean, the kind of reading when you say, "Lord, show me your truth today. Feed me on every word of this passage." And if you want to relight your light, ask yourself, how do you worship Him? And not just here at church, but how do you worship Him at home? Do you come here and praise God? Do you stop in the middle of the day or driving down in your car, lift your hands up and praise Him? Do you love Him? Do you honor Him? In order to be His light and give off His light, you yourself have to be filled with a light. You cannot be a light on your own. I think some of us have kind of lost our way. And we're not even a big lighter. But God's light is different. And when it fills us with light, when we're living the way God has called us to be, people see the difference. We all have our ups and our downs. And when you feel that you're losing the light, you need to regenerate yourself. You need to come onto your knees and pray to God. You need to worship. You need to sing. You need to fellowship. You need to dwell in His Word. And if you have never experienced God's light, then you need to come to Jesus, and He needs to become your Savior. And you need to say, Lord, I give myself to You. I surrender. I'm obedient. Show me. Love me. Do with what You will. I am Yours. Forgive me and cleanse me. And I'm telling you, if in your heart you truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you truly believe that He is going to be your Lord, that you are going to surrender to Him, then poof, a pilot light comes on in your life. And as you grow as a Christian, you will feed that pilot light, and it will become a fire that burns inside of you. And that light inside of you will grow, and people will start to see that light, and they'll say, what's different? You're different. What is different about you? And you're going to say, it's the light of Christ. Because there are people right around you now, family, friends, co-workers, or maybe even strangers that are in the depths of darkness, and you may not even see it. They desperately need the light. We are called to live as lights, but if we never turn on the light, we cannot be a beacon of hope. But if we do go out and live as the light, we could be the one and only saving hope for somebody. I shared this illustration before in another sermon. The Diary of Anne Frank recounts the terrifying yet touching story of a family risking their lives to hide and save a Jewish family during the Nazi reign. Mike Gies found Anne's diary, and she saved Anne's diaries for her father, who was the only known survivor of that family. And when speaking to a group of teenagers, she had this to say: we are all ordinary people who can, within their own small ways, can turn on a small light in a dark room. Now, that statement says a lot, but I don't think it says enough, especially since we are Christians, we are children of God. Especially since we have realized and experienced God's grace. Especially since that through faith, through Jesus Christ, we are adopted to be God's children. I think as Christians, we should say we are all extraordinary people who can, with our own small ways, turn on a small light in a dark room. If you have Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, you are redeemed, you are extraordinary. And as a Christian, you are given the gift of this light to dwell within you. And we are to share it. We are to let it shine. And you may think your light is small compared to other people. But to someone with absolutely no light, your light is very bright. We need to share the light. We need to be the light. And there's someone in your life that needs light, and not just any light. For there is only one light that can truly chase away the darkness, and that is the light of Jesus Christ. We need to allow Jesus to come into our hearts. The first verse of our closing hymn goes like this: what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Does Jesus bring about that kind of change in your life? I pray that He does.
That song can make you smile. We need to have a talk. Jesus fully come in and let your light shine. Go now and be a people of Jesus Christ. Go be a light in the darkness. Share the light. Be the light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.